Thanks for listening to the best of Outkick the Coverage podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the Coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis on Fox Sports Radio.
Marquise Pouncey said as follows: "A star is born every year in the NFL. Did anyone know Chiefs Kareem Hunt would be an all-pro before last season? If James Conner didn't have cancer, he'd have been a first-rounder. Just watch him." Steelers guard Ramon Foster on Le'Veon Bell: "He's making seven times what I make and twice as much as Al Villanueva is making, and we're the guys who do it for him." Further, here's more on Marquise Pouncey. Let's see. "Why play hide-and-seek? Why let your agent say this? Just man up and tell us what you're going to do." That's pretty incredible quotes. Again, that's Marquise Pouncey and Ramon Foster weighing in, two members of the offensive line that are charged with blocking for Le'Veon Bell. And when I hear those quotes, first of all, I haven't heard very often, if at all, guys really go out and take shots at another player over his contract. And I thought the most interesting of those was the guys knowing exactly what he's making. Again, Ramon Foster saying he's making seven times what I make and twice as much as Al Villanueva is making, and we're the guys who do it for him. You heard Ben Roethlisberger hint that the offensive line was more important than the running back. I think a lot of guys believe you may want a long-term deal, but if you are playing under the franchise tag, it's hard to argue that you are underpaid for that year. In other words, I think this is a really intriguing look at NFL-era economics, because what did we say when the Washington Redskins kept franchise-tagging Kirk Cousins? That Kirk Cousins and his agent had played it brilliantly, because ultimately it led to Cousins becoming an unrestricted free agent and being able to leave and go to Minnesota. And as a result, everything with that was perfect, right? When you broke down everything, the way that Kirk Cousins and his agents played it out, rarely, if ever, has any athlete had a better situation emerge than what happened with Kirk Cousins. Couldn't you say the same thing about Le'Veon Bell? Doesn't Le'Veon Bell maybe need to sit back and think, you know what, I understand that the Steelers won't commit to me long term, and as a result, you have to make a decision to show up and play under the franchise tag and then go ahead and leave after it. You're still only 26 or 27 years old. You can probably get a decent contract for the next 3 years after this. It's unlikely that anybody is going to pay you more than $14.54 million, I believe, which is what he is due to make in 1 year as a running back at the age of 26. And the year before that, you made $12 million. So you are being paid insanely highly when you consider that in 2 years you will have made $26 million. I understand you might want more guaranteed money. I understand you might think that you are entitled to it. But in general, the running back position is not worth that much. And I'm not sure that there are that many teams out there that will make an aggressive play for Le'Veon Bell. Now, maybe what he and his agent are trying to do, and maybe there's a lot of back channels going on right now, is get him traded at the last possible moment, much like happened with Khalil Mack, and then he'll get a brand new huge contract. If that's true, then just come out and say it. We want the Steelers to trade us. I believe that there is a team out there that has salary cap money that will make a move to get me and go ahead and give me guaranteed money. Sitting out 10 weeks and then coming back is not a very valid perspective, I don't think, for Le'Veon Bell. First of all, because James Conner might be really good, right? I mean, that's the risk that you bear every time you are a free agent or a player who holds out. The NFL is a next man up league, particularly at the running back position. If you play fantasy football, what do you learn? How often it occurs that you are out there and you grab somebody on the waiver wire who turns into a star. As Ramon Foster was saying, Kareem Hunt, or maybe it was Marquise Pouncey, Kareem Hunt, nobody really knew him. Every year there's a fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round draft pick or an unrestricted free agent who comes out of nowhere and becomes a solid NFL running back. Now, he may not do it for years like Le'Veon Bell, but we're talking about a pretty good offense. We're talking about pretty good first ballot Hall of Famer in Ben Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, one of the three or four best wide receivers in the league, Juju Smith-Schuster coming along, got a pretty talented tight end, like we said, a very good offensive line. I think whoever runs the football and takes handoffs from Ben Roethlisberger is going to be successful in this Pittsburgh Steelers offense. And again, to me, the story here is the team has actually taken shots at Le'Veon Bell. What do you usually hear a running back say? Think about who the divas usually are on a football field. I don't think it's a coincidence that the biggest divas on a football field are typically the wide receivers and the cornerbacks, because by and large, they're in a one-on-one battle all game long. And if you're a really good wide receiver and you can beat your cornerback opponent, or if you're a cornerback and you can shut down your wide receiver, you spend less time worried about other members of the offense or defense. You're out there on an island by yourself, and so your individual opinions, your individual personalities, those tend to flourish at those positions. When you are closer to the ball, when you are on the line of scrimmage, you learn something really rapidly. You are only as good as the guy right beside you. Offensive linemen tend to have the smallest egos on the football field because people are trying to get to their quarterback on every play, and they understand the guy next to them or the center or their quarterback or their running back. They all have to work together in order to protect the quarterback and allow the play to happen. If they fall apart on an individual basis, then the quarterback gets sacked, then their offensive lineman next to them, they take the wrong man and block him, then they're in trouble. Which is why you usually never hear an offensive lineman really strongly become a voice of the team on an individual basis, because they are part of a larger unit. Even running backs are not typically that cocky, because what do you hear running backs talk about all the time? Running back sets a new record. What does he do? He buys a Rolex for his offensive line. He talks about how good his offensive line is. I think a lot of Steelers right now, based on all those quotes I read you, are of the opinion that Le'Veon Bell is taking all the credit for their work. Again, listen to these quotes. I mean, I don't even remember hearing these before when you talk about a guy holding out. Marquise Pouncey. A star is born every year in the NFL. Did anyone know Chiefs Kareem Hunt would be an All-Pro before last season? If James Conner didn't have cancer, he'd have been a first-rounder. Just watch him. Also, more Pouncey. Why play hide-and-seek? Why let your agent say this? Just man up and tell us what you're going to do. And Ramon Foster, again, another offensive lineman. He's making seven times what I make, and twice as much as Al Villanueva is making, and we're the guys who do it for him. That, my friends, is shots fired.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Our fearless predictions. I love to do fearless predictions before new season start. We did it for college football. We are doing it now for the NFL. My fearless prediction is that the New England Patriots, and grab these, grab the audio on this, Danny G, because it may be an awful one. My fearless prediction, but that's why it's fearless, is that the New England Patriots are going to go 8-8 this year. I think the wheels are finally going to come off the New England Patriot franchise, and I got them going 8-8. Bold prediction. Danny G, what is your fearless and bold prediction?
Yeah, yours is fearless. All right, the Bay Area is going to love mine. New Raider Arden Key of LSU.
Yes.
Will finish with more sacks than Khalil Mack this season.
Wow, that would be bold. That would also explain why John Gruden wasn't as nervous about making the decision to let Khalil Mack go. That's pretty bold. You're also a Raider fan, so you have made a bold and fearless prediction that benefits your team, which, to be
convenient.
Honest, Yes, very convenient. All right, Eddie Garcia, what you got for me? What is your fearless prediction for the NFL this year?
Well, this may or may not be trolling two gentlemen in the other room, but the John Gruden era will get off to a terrible start. They will be tied with the Cleveland Browns for the worst record in the NFL this year.
Oh, now that is a bold, and fearless prediction.
Roberto, cut his mic.
Roberto, what is your bold and fearless prediction?
Well, I'm going the opposite way of Eddie there. The Raiders are going to win the AFC West, and they're going to go 10-6.
So the two Raider fans have insanely bold and fearless predictions, which entirely benefit their own teams.
Roberto, play the Raider music. You gave Gruden a shout-out yesterday because you said if he can get Derek Carr back on track, then that will make people forget about the Khalil Mack trade.
I totally agree with that. I think that everything other than the quarterback is overplayed in the NFL. And that's my like mantra all the time. If Derek Carr can play like he did before he broke his leg, and he never really came back last year, if he can get back to that kind of play, then I think there is no chance at all that the Raiders have a bad season. If Derek Carr doesn't play well, then I don't think it matters. Look, Khalil Mack played in that playoff game the Raiders played on the road against Houston, right?
Yeah, he did.
You know what happened in that game? Raiders got their ass kicked by Brock Osweiler and the Houston Texans because a great defensive player does not even cancel out a mediocre quarterback. And that's being very kind to Brock Osweiler to call him a mediocre quarterback. Brock Osweiler probably has watched that playoff victory tape a billion times. It might be his, like, it might just play constantly in wherever house he lives in because that's going to be the highlight of his career. He can, for the rest of his life, say, hey, I won a playoff game. Something Alex Smith can't say so far. A lot of accomplished quarterbacks that have never won an NFL playoff game.
Now, Clay, it didn't happen in that postseason game, but there have been regular season games where Khalil Mack single-handedly in the fourth quarter shut the door on the other team's comeback attempt with strip sacks.
But he was there when the Raiders looked like they were going to be the overall number one seed. He was not able to survive the postseason in any way, even playing well. So I just think, same thing, J.J. Watt, by the way. Everybody's like, oh, J.J. Watt's incredible. Oh, Whitney Merciless is incredible. Oh, look at everything that's going on with our boy Jadeveon Clowney. Everybody on that great Houston Texans defense. You know what happens when Tom Savage is playing quarterback? They don't matter very much. It's because all that matters in the NFL is whether you have a good quarterback or not.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just glad I was there.
Boys and girls.
I thought he thought I was like this ginormous piece of chicken.
Dying time's here.
I have a boa constrictor stuck to my face.
Sam, you have a what?
This is Animal Thunderdome.
By the way, I love the number of people that are going to be late going into work because they're like sitting in their car right now. They were like, it's supposed to be Animal Thunderdome last segment. I sat through all the commercial breaks to make sure I didn't miss it. I think you're going to enjoy it. Where should we go to first, Danny G?
Let's go ahead and go with the audio first. This comes from Tennessee. This poor woman was faced with trauma recently when she discovered a snake in her backyard. Now, yesterday on Animal Thunderdome, if you were listening or go to the podcast, you should hear it. We had controversy over a 7-foot lizard that was tormenting a family in South Florida in their backyard.
Yes.
Clay, in this lady's backyard in Tennessee, your hometown, your home state there, rather, she's dealing with a snake in her backyard, and her dogs decided to protect her. And there is audio as her husband took out his phone and filmed this.
No, Dayla. No. I don't know what to do. I don't want him to get in the house.
Get George.
George ain't going to do it because I'm telling him no. He's going to go in the house. You've got to get a stick. I don't know what's going to go underneath. He's gone. No, George. Oh, he jumped in. Oh, no, George. No. George, no. No. I know what it's going to do. It's going to go under the porch. No, George.
So George the dog,
George the dog, yes.
Grabs the snake and throws it on her?
Yeah, he tosses his head and you just see him coming towards her and her freaking out. So
that's actually, people are going to make fun of that lady. That's the exact same way I sound when I see a snake. I saw a snake. We were down at the beach this past weekend. We were walking, headed to the beach, tiny little snake. Lost my mind. My wife told me we got a couple of snakes in the yard. I'm like, we may have to move. I don't know about this thing. I am so anti-snakes. I am a snakist. That's exactly what I would do if I had a dog and it was eating a snake and it tossed it towards me. I would lose my mind.
Would you rather have snakes in your backyard or spiders on the loose in your backyard?
Spiders on the loose by far, but I heard about this. And this, I don't understand this desire to steal. Remember we had the guys down in Texas who stole the sharks and like walked out of the aquarium with the sharks and like put the sharks in their pants? Like this actually happened. Well, now there are like 90,000. How many insects are missing?
7,000 insects missing from a Philadelphia museum.
Somebody stole 7,000 rare insects from a Philadelphia. 7,000 of them. From a Philadelphia museum. I can't. This is pretty awful, too. This is like we're having a combination. It's like Raiders of the Lost Ark. We got spiders and we got snakes and everything else. What's the story here?
The museum is pleading with thieves to please bring back its bugs. Arachnids, lizards, and more disappeared from this insect show at the Butterfly Pavilion last week. And they didn't crawl out the building themselves. According to a New York Times report, police have zeroed in on three suspects, all current or former museum employees. So it was an inside job. The report cites security footage showing thieves slipping out of the building with large plastic containers. And you can guess what must have been inside those containers. $50,000 worth of bugs.
But who buys the bugs? And there's one spider that's like a deadly spider that they stole, right?
So one of the missing family members is a six-eyed sand spider, which is among one of the world's most venomous creatures.
But who are the people who buy, like, venomous spiders on the black market? And drug dealers? Like, I don't even understand what would you do with a incredibly venomous spider. First of all, it's probably going to escape, right? Because inevitably, if you have a dangerous animal in your house, it will probably escape. I mean, I think that's beyond a shadow of a doubt. And so this, to me, is just crazy in and of itself. Like, I can't comprehend this at all.
Yeah. And at the end of the article here, it says that the rest of the people working inside the museum have been depressed lately. It says the museum has fallen into an uneasy silence as there's no more rustling of the tiny legs from all the bugs in the collection. So also,
why would you think you're going to get away with stealing 7,000 insects when the place has cameras?
Especially, they see you carrying out these plastic containers. They're going to put two and two together so easily. How in the world do you think you can get away with that? That is a very good question.
And also, how do you sell 7,000 insects? Like, I don't understand. In general, they say they're worth $50,000. Okay, that doesn't – first of all, it doesn't seem like that much money, right? If you're going to risk everything and go to jail over stealing something, like I understand a little bit the idea, oh, they stole cash. Well, you can do – like if you rob an armored van or a bank or something, you're getting cash, which in theory would be fungible. You can use it elsewhere. This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, where, first of all, the insects have to take up a lot of space to store them. You have to feed them. You have to ensure that they don't die. I don't get the thought process here. And then plus $50,000, it's like a nice amount of money, but it's not like it's something, if you had $50,000, like your life has changed forever, right?
Yeah,
you still have to work.
It's not worth it to house this many bugs for that much money.
Yeah, I don't get it. This seems like a very questionable decision.
One last little nugget from the Times article. It says some of the bugs were part of a federal investigation, which means when the thieves are caught, they'll not only face theft charges, but also tampering with a federal investigation charge.
Yeah, that seems like a bet. Well, first of all, I don't understand how they could be. Like, again, were they seized from a drug dealer? Like, what were the insects evidence from? I don't know. The reason why I say drug dealers is it seems, and maybe this is just me buying into the cliche, it always seems like drug dealers are the ones with exotic animals. Doesn't it seem that way? I mean, you know, like from the Pablo Escobar, we had the big discussion. Pablo Escobar had all his, like, if you have a lot of money, at some point you just decide you have to spend it on something, and drug dealers are always buying exotic animals. Maybe the idea is you're going to use that spider and torture somebody. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. That's Animal Thunderdome. Appreciate all of you.
If I had that kind of money, Clay, I would get one of those monitor lizards that we talked about yesterday.
No, you got to kill the. I was surprised. I didn't get any. Sometimes I'm surprised by the negativity. I didn't get a single person who disagreed with me that you need to shoot the 7-foot monitor lizard.
Yeah, no, I saw a few tweets when the show was over, and they were a couple of them were telling me to stop being a DBAP because I wanted the reptile to live and just be humanely put to sleep.
Yeah, it's stalking a 2- and a 4-year-old in the backyard.
Right,
I'm sorry.
But my argument is
over animals.
My argument is there's never been a human eaten by a lizard before. The lizards are scared of people normally.
Do you think that would be a good argument if it happened? Like, if you are a parent and you are the husband who doesn't get rid of the 7-foot lizard, and you find out that your 2-year-old got eaten by a lizard, do you think your wife would be responsive when you were like, honey, how could I have ever known this lizard would eat our 2-year-old? It had never happened before. Do you think your wife would be like, oh, you know what? That's definitely, you know what?
Well, what's this lizard going to do? Stick its tongue out at the 2-year-old? And we're not talking about an alligator or a crocodile.
It's 7 feet. It could definitely bite. There's like first of all, the Komodo dragon is one of the most violent animals on the planet, in my understanding, and it is a lizard. And you would not necessarily think if you looked at that lizard, oh, that Komodo dragon is incredibly vicious. Yet they are a pack animal that will get on you like a raptor, and they will devour you. So I don't know that this 7-foot monitor lizard that I'm trusting it around an infant. No way I'm trusting it. It's like in Lady and the Tramp. Remember when the rat comes in? And, you know, old school, spoiler alert. And then I think it's Tramp comes in and he saves the baby from the rat. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Would you think to yourself, oh, the rat, like rats will attack babies, right? Every now and then that happens. And we had that story about the rat biting the guy's foot the other day, the famous soccer star. If a rat will attack a baby, why would you feel that a 7-foot lizard would not?
No. I'm reading an article here, and you're right. It says the Komodo dragon is what to be worried about, not an Asian monitor. So
yeah, but I'm just saying, if I see a 7-foot lizard, I want it dead.
So just because it's related to the Komodo, that's racist.
I'm racist against lizards. Big lizards. I'm racist against snakes, and I'm racist against lizards. If that's wrong, then I guess you can take my radio show and render me unemployed.
Racist.
PETA can come after me. I'm not going to lie. I'm racist against snakes. I discriminate against them. I don't like them. I think the world would be better without them. And I'm racist against big lizards. If I have kids, I'm taking them out. I think most people out there are on my side.
DBAP.
DBAP. That's why I'm killing the lizard. I'm not out here wringing my hands over the lizard and whether or not it's safe.
DBAP because you're scared of a lizard.
No. DBAP is the general rule. Don't be a pussy willow. All right? Sometimes there is also another rule that I have built, a corollary here, SBAP. Sometimes be a pussy willow. If you are standing beside a crocodile-infested river and somebody's like, hey, you want to go for a swim, you could be like, no, you know what? I'm going to be a pussy willow here. SBAP. The general rule is don't be a pussy willow, but there are occasions where SBAP applies. Sometimes be a pussy willow. And SBAP applies when you're in danger from snakes, crocodiles. Big lizards. Got to wipe them out.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.